And I would like to thank God for this privilege and for this opportunity. But before we start, I would like to thank several people first. I would like to thank our elders, David and Gary, for organizing this event for us, and also for their confidence in me to be able to stand up here before all of you and speak to you about God's word, specifically about sin. I remember when Gary came up to me and asked me if I would like to present a lesson here. My first and initial reaction without hesitation was, no, no way I can do that. You know. But after I've calmed down, and then he told me about the topic that it will be about sin, with the title, Have I Committed Sin? I stop and think to myself, well, I think I can do this. I have committed sin, and a lot of sin. And I might even be an expert on this. And I believe that's why they asked me to talk on this topic. But kidding aside, I also would like to thank my fellow speakers for their time and effort, for the work they've done to prepare for this lectureship. And last, I would like to thank my editor-in-chief, my support team, Aleta, for supporting me and encouraging me as I prepared for this lesson. So let's start. For those of you who do not know what sin is not just a mere mistake. Like as someone I was having discussion with said to me, in today's world, many people take sin very lightly. This person I was speaking with was no exception. He was dismissing the gravity of sin and its consequences. And he was also trying to remove the sinning person's responsibilities. Yes, mistake and sin are both wrong actions. But the difference is that a mistake is an action committed by accident without the intent of doing something wrong. But sin is worse since it is a choice. It is willfully and intentionally done despite knowing that it is wrong. For example of a mistake is when you accidentally take the wrong medication or dosage of medication, and it made you sick, and it happens a lot of times. On the other hand, it is a sin when you consciously take too much of a certain medication to make you sick, or you're taking those highly narcotic drugs to get that euphoric effect. Another example of a sin is when you enter the other gender's bathroom by accident. And many of us have done that, including myself. And it is a sin if you intentionally go into the other gender's bathroom, dressed in the opposite sex clothes in order to watch them undress. Many people call their willful wrong actions a mistake rather than a sin. They may claim that they're just making a mistake when they cheated on their spouse or they cheated on their taxes. They may say that it was just a mistake when they lose their temper and hurt someone, or it's just a mistake when they lied about something big or stole someone else's belongings. Understanding the difference between the two will help us answer the question, have I committed sin? Let's talk about laws. All organizational units of people, whether it's a kingdom, a country, or a family, have laws to follow. Laws are created to ensure safety, organization, fairness, and justice for all members. Laws are rules that bind all people living in the community. A good example of a law here in the United States is the anti-discrimination law. Where it goes, it is illegal under U.S. federal law to discriminate against an employee, either intentionally or through a disparate impact on the account of his or her race, color, religion, sex, including pregnancy, national origin, age 40 or older, disability, or genetic information. It is also illegal to harass an employee on account of these protected characteristics or to retaliate against an employee because he or she complained about discrimination, filed a charge of discrimination, or participated in employment discrimination investigation or lawsuit. Most employers with at least 15 employees are covered by this body of federal law, as are most labor unions and employment agencies. This is an important law in the workplace because it guards against unfair treatment and ensures the safety of the employees. Without laws in this country, there will be complete disorder and commotion. Of course, unless you are an anarchist, unless you're an anarchist, no one wants to live in this chaotic world where there is no one is guaranteed of personal safety or property rights. We follow the laws of the land because we live in a civilized society, and we know the consequences we will face once we break such laws. And most laws that have been passed in our society are for our own good and benefit. Our God, the Father in heaven, also has laws and commandments for us to follow, his children, for us to abide and to live with. God gave us his instructions on how we should live morally, socially, and spiritually. His laws, which supersedes all human laws, and his commandments are all for our own good. And it benefits us, our souls, to continually obey these commands. And it teaches us on how to live harmoniously with others and thereby pleasing to him. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7:12 that God's law is holy and the commandment is holy, just and good. And according to Solomon, that the duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14. God will reward those who keep and obey him, and he will punish those who disobey and reject his commandments. Now let's talk about sin. When we disobey, violate, and break God's law or his word, we commit sin, as it is defined in the Bible, that sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3-4. Sin is deceitful, inviting, and very tempting. It originates and grows from the heart, as Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So it starts from inside out. So we become and act what we harbor in our heart. What goes in our heart comes out. So if we think of evil, we act evil things. And we think of God, and it dwells in ours, we act godly. In Matthew 15, verse 19, it tells us that for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, false witness, theft, and slanders. All of us have committed and are guilty of sin, as Romans 3:23 says. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8. God gave us free will to do what we want. We all have a choice, whether to obey and please God, or to reject and dishonor him, whether to know him or to ignore him. James 1, 14 to 15 tells us that each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's why we know from this that sin is an act that we consciously and intentionally choose to commit. Each of us has our own lustful desires, and our temptations are different from each other. We face our own individual struggles, and we commit sin when we let ourselves get carried away by our own desires. In 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Our temptations usually involve all or one of these: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three are very strong forces of temptations that will entice and seduce us to sin. We each have a vulnerability that makes us succumb to our temptations if we are not watchful and diligent, and if we do not know what transgresses God's law. The Bible clearly states and lists sinful actions that we should avoid and flee from before we get entangled from its web, or we need to completely stop if we are already practicing them. Here are some of the sins that are named and directly listed in the Bible. In Ephesians 5, verse 3 to 5, it enumerates immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, covetousness, idolater. In Romans 1:29-21, it mentions unrighteousness, greediness, wickedness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 10, it cites unrighteousness, fornicators, idolaters, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. Galatians 5, 19 to 21, it says immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissension, functions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. In 2 Timothy 3, 4, chapter 3, verse 2 to 4, it lists lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents again, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, considered lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And in Ephesians 4, 25 to 21, it also mentions lying, stealing, letting unwholesome word proceed out of the mouth, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Whew. This is not even the complete list of sins that are mentioned in the Bible that we need to stay away from. But this is already quite an extensive and exhaustive list. And having heard all of these sins that are directly mentioned in the Word of God, can you now then acknowledge that you have committed sin? There is no room for doubt or question whether we have sinned or not if we have committed one or more of these actions. If by any chance you think that you are not guilty of those sins mentioned, then listen carefully, because sin also comes in other different forms. We need to recognize these other ways of sinning for us to prevent ourselves getting involved in it, or to stop if we're in the middle of it, or to turn away and repent and change our ways. We may sometimes not think of ourselves as someone who have committed such sins, especially if we haven't committed those things that I've just mentioned earlier. However, I will now present to you the other ways in which we sin, or other forms of sin, that we may just find ourselves involved in one of these. First, committing sin out of ignorance. Many drivers have used the "I'm sorry, officer, I did not know" excuse, and have paid a hefty fine for their ignorance, whether it's for illegal parking or moving violation. Everyone driving a motor vehicle is expected to know the laws of the road, which are readily available online, on books, or on the road itself. Likewise, Israel, God's people, were also not excused for being ignorant of his word. In Leviticus 5:17, it says, "Now if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, he is still guilty and shall bear his punishment." And Hosea 4, verse 6 also tells us that Israel, God's children, were destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. We hear stories about local people in Afghanistan and allied soldiers who got hurt, and most have lost their lives because of landmine explosions, because they did not know where the Taliban buried those landmines. In contrast, Israel's ignorance of God's word came about because they continually rejected, rebelled against, and did not honor him. They did not fear nor love him, so they ignored his laws. In the same way, we are in sin, and we will be punished when we transgress God's law and his commandments, even if we claim not to know and understand them. Romans 1, verse 19 to 20 tells us that we have no excuse, for it reads, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, including us. Or having, for God made it evident to them and us as well. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And so we are no excuse. We don't have an excuse either. There is no way we cannot see God's existence, his power and divine nature, and his love for us, unless we close our eyes and live in darkness or put worldly blinders to prevent us from seeing his light, the truth, which is his word and the Bible. Second, we also commit sin when we are a stumbling block to others. These are the people who will keep other people in darkness by encouraging to sin or to stay in their current state of sin. These people call evil, evil good and good evil. These are the people who will say nothing but defend homosexuality, smoking, drinking, or wearing of immodest clothes and such, and not ever call them out for what they are. In Romans 1, verse 32 says, "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them." The pro-choice movement is a very good example of those who give hearty approval to sin. Abortion is the worst crimes and sins against humanity and against God. This movement not only encourages murder, it also misguides others by calling an evil act good. And it blinds people with this false self-empowerment with the "my body, my choice" mantra, without respect to life and ultimately God. We are all also in sin when we are silent or quiet about sin or do not speak up for the truth. As Christians, we have obligations to expose what is wrong and evil and not to take part on any unfruitful deeds of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. We need to sound the alarm and warn others, especially our brethren in Christ, if we see danger upon them and if we see someone being harmed or will be harmed by sin, or and to prevent them from further destruction. To be silent shows our poor affection and lack of concern for others. We need to be our brethren's keepers, start watching out for each other. Just like when we see someone drifting further away in the sea. So we need to call out their attention and let them know that they are going too far away from the safe zone before it's too late. To turn a blind eye or to be silent is to be encouraging of sin, making us an accomplice to it. Third, as we already said and know, that all and any actions against God's word and authority is a sin. But some believe that there are certain actions that God may not punish depending on its severity or degree. Some people think that doing a small or seemingly mild and harmless sin is acceptable and will not receive punishment from God because he is loving and merciful. They may start to say that just, yes, smoking one cigarette or social drinking once in a while is okay, stealing few office supplies at work or shoplifting inexpensive items in the store is okay since they make money anyway. Telling little white lies here and there, forsaking the assembly, again, once in a while, buying lotto tickets or gambling for fun, using euphonyms or using God's word in vain like OMG are also acceptable. Looking but not touching is not a sin as well. The problem and danger with small and mild and harmless sin is that it can grow and become bigger and bigger in scale as we become desensitized to it, or as our wants and needs and lusts increase. This is why good parents start teaching and correcting their children while they are young and while their mistakes or their inappropriate behaviors are still mild, safe, and inoffensive in nature. Jesus also taught us the danger of seemingly mild and harmless, the danger of seemingly harmless sin in Matthew 5, verse 27 to 28, where he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust on her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And in Matthew 5, 21, 22, he also said that you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to the fiery hell. Here, in these two passages, it shows how a supposedly harmless thought, starting from the heart and mind, can develop to a physically harmful one. And we know that God will punish both sinful thought and action. To some people, they also believe if they're doing almost all of God's commandment, except for one, or if they're just breaking one out of all the commandments, this is still reasonable and acceptable to God. They use this reasoning as a license or justification to commit or practice one sin. Again, just like drinking, smoking, or gambling, or others, while they claim to be keeping other commandments anyway. But James 2, verse 10 tells us that for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all. God wants us to imitate him, and he wants us to strive to be pure and perfect, for he is perfect. But continually practicing even one sin will keep us from being pure and perfect. We cannot hold on to God fully if we are also holding on to the world. We cannot serve two masters. Either we will hate one and love the other, or we will be devoted to one or despise the other. Matthew 6, 24. Also, most people hide or do their sins in darkness or in secret for the fear of being caught or feeling embarrassed for their actions. And some hide it, hoping that their sins that are not seen or known to people will not be punished. This might be true in the world. The problem with secret sin is that until we are caught, we might think that we might get away with it, and we will do it again and again and again. And as we do it more and more, our appetite to sin gets bigger and bigger as well. Just like many serial criminals have escaped judgment and punishment because people were not aware of the crimes that they have committed. We have heard of news of crimes that were finally solved after so many years, after so many decades, and criminals have ultimately received their judgment and punishment. But what about those cases that are still open after so many years or have been closed because of insufficient evidence? Yes, many might be able to escape secular punishment, but not from God, because he is just, all-knowing, and he's everywhere. And Hebrews 4, 13 tells us that there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid before his eyes of him with whom we have to do. We know that Adam and Eve tried to hide from God after deceiving him. Cain also failed in hiding from God after murdering his brother. Jonah, likewise, also failed in hiding from God. Achan and his family were punished and were put to death after taking and hiding the spoils from Jericho. Ananias and Sapphira, they were killed for lying about the amount of their donations. God can see us and knows us and knows where we are and what we are hiding deep inside our hearts and our minds. And he will render to each person according to his deeds. Romans 2, verse 6. Another sin that is unbeknownst to many is the sin of omission. As James 4 defines, it's stating, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. This includes not helping those who are in need, not sharing God's word to others, and not standing for what is right. We all know and have the ability to do good to others since we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work. which God prepared beforehand so that we can walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. God has supplied us with every means to do good to others by using our money, our mind, our talent, our influence, our body, and through prayers as well. And with all this means, and yet we still fail to help and to do good to others, it just shows that we do not care about God's children and love God. As in Matthew 25, verse 41 to 46, where he said, "Depart from me, accursed one, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me." This will go to eternal fire, to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. In 1 John 3, verse 17 to 18, it also reminds us that whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? "Little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and truth." And in the story of the Good Samaritan, it gives us another good example of the sin of omission, where two men, the priest and the Levite, did not help the man that was robbed and beaten by robbers. When they saw him, they walked around him and passed by on the other side. Luke 10:30-33. As God's children, we need to take all the opportunity to do good works to all men, so that they may see and give glory to God our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And so that they may know that we are his children and that he is real and watching over them. So again, I pose this question. Have you committed sin? Have I committed sin? Absolutely. The first step is to acknowledge that we have committed sin, and we still do commit sin. Knowing all these forms of sin that I have discussed gives us an insight and understanding of what sin is. And if and when we commit or practice them in our everyday lives, we must flee and separate ourselves from all forms of sin and evil, including those who might influence us to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to abstain from every form of evil. We cannot and should not approach it, nor compromise or make concession with it. For sin is very powerful, dangerous, sneaky, and deceptive. Just like encountering snakes in the woods, whether intentionally or unintentionally. People have gotten bit, hurt seriously, or worse, died from it. In Proverbs 6:27-28 says, "Can a man take a fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Likewise, if we get close enough to sin, it will also burn us, bite us, poison us, and cause our spiritual death. No one is safe from sin. No one is immune to temptation. Even the strongest and wisest will fall from it, with its fangs latching onto us, and will not let go until we are dead to sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Brethren, sin in our lives needs to be repented of and avoided. We cannot change what we don't acknowledge. We need to acknowledge our sins and accept the responsibilities for our wrongdoings. Only then can we be on the path of true repentance and reconciliation with our Father in heaven. Thank you.